Amen and amen. Jesus, I need you every moment. There's a song, I think it's Jesus, I need you every hour with me. I need Jesus every moment. I don't know about you, but I sure do. So, amen. Give me a mic check to make sure this is fully working. Again, I was doing a little experimentation with some software today, and I kind of made some adjustments to it because there is some new firmware for this thing. I hadn't set it up yet, but it's a little bit more discussion. I got another microphone I'm fixing to invest in, which is supposed to be better than this one. But, you know, so we're going to keep working on some current things to move towards streaming audio because I'm looking at some different ventures into Twitch and Periscope and YouTube and other things because, again, those of you who are joining the Facebook Bible studies, I'm looking at the views, the people that's watching it, and we're posting to two different sites now, just my news feed, and graciously another church has allowed me to post the messages on their page. And yeah, I was thinking about that one there too, Fred. And you know, so nice of the pastor for allowing me to post, you know, the Bible studies on there, so you know his group is watching it and listening to it. So you know, I'm praying, but I had not made a definitive decision yet to start investing into a lot of times with new websites and everything else because, you know, I want to kind of get into more preaching and teaching, you know, because this site here is going to remain running, but it's just we just don't seem to have many people like me and Chris was talking about this morning. It just seemed like many people don't want to come to this. It's like many people don't want to hang out with this. It's like many people don't want to come to these sermons and, you know, and whatnot. So, you know, I'm getting to the point where maybe it's time for me to try to invest time in some other ministries, you know. So we're going to see. But it's Friday night, and I made the boo-boo last night. It was Thursday night when I on a Bible study. I actually said Friday night, and I'm getting the two mixed up. So I got to get into a routine. Hey, it's Thursday night. Hey, it's Friday night, so, you know, I got to start making two different changes. But again, I'm glad that you're here. You are the devoted ones. You faithfully follow this every Friday night. You know, you could have been elsewhere, but you're still here, and I'm grateful for that. You know, so as long as there is some interest here, you know, with the live sermons, and again, you know, if we can get something set up elsewhere, we may eventually may not be using this for live service. We may be using another platform. But this works good. You know, I'm really impressed with it. So, you know, that's why we're going to plan on it. It's going to stay as is for whatever use we can get out of it. But before we get started, I was led to this message because it was kind of a spinoff from last week's message, you know, when I preached, you know, on spiritual success. And it was kind of a first for me to do a message kind of like spiritual success. You know, how do we succeed spiritually? I never really gave that much thought, you know. And as I reviewed the message and as I ministered it to you and as I watched it, yes, you know, I do watch it and I do listen to it. So, you know, it's either being recorded, you know, by video or audio, as I'm doing here on my iPhone. And I do listen to it a lot because a lot of times, you know, it does inspire me into something else. So this is where we're going tonight. Now, I want you to think about this. Have you ever wondered whether it was talent or sustained systematic training that makes athletes so good? Have you ever wondered whether it was just plain or outright talent or systematic, sustained training that makes athletes so good? So when this question comes to your mind, or anyone who's listening to this, when this question comes to your mind, how do those so-called athletes get to a point of being good at what they do? I like that one, Lisa. Yeah, most of the time I would say both too. But how do they get to the point of being good at what they do? They were just good right off the bat? I don't think it was. I think he had to be involved for them to get good at what they do. I mean, think of us when we first rode bicycles. Did we just hop on a bike and start riding it? No. Many of us who played baseball, basketball, football, whatever, did we just, boom, get right into it and we were good, just as good as the rest of them? No. Brett puts it, yeah, we got to practice, which is true. Well, the reason why so many are good at what they do comes down to how much self-discipline they put themselves through in order to become better in their talents. Wouldn't you agree with that? Because it comes down to self-discipline, folks. Self-discipline, self-discipline. If you don't discipline yourself to achieve into something, you're never going to get good at it. But have you ever thought about what the Olympic athletes need in order to succeed? I was talking about regular athletes. Now I'm talking about Olympic athletes. Have you ever thought about what they need in order to succeed, even in sports and in life, or the ability to accomplish things that can attract remarkable opportunities to you because you see them succeeding? Believe it or not, you know, when a lot of people see them succeeding, they wonder, okay, what does it take to get to that point? What does it take? And like I just said, folks, it's not a given to them. It's not. But it all starts with self-discipline. It all starts with self-discipline. At least, yeah, you can add that to it, because self-discipline will take years and years and years of practice. Self-discipline puts you on the driving seat. It's what keeps you focused on your purpose. And like a camera lens zooming in on a single object, the details and distractions around dissipates as you zoom in. See, if you zoomed out, you get to see all kind of stuff. But if you focus in on the athlete, you start zooming in, all those other distractions are out of focus. So from an athlete's performance to life achievements, accomplishing something important is not easy. To accomplish something important, even in athletes, is not easy. But it can be simple. So if an athlete works hard to excel at a particular sport, every step forward in their athletic development is the result of choices. Have you ever thought about that? For them to succeed in what they're doing is, in a way, a direct result of choices. Sometimes those choices require that they tell themselves no when they want to enjoy junk food. Now, that's something I fail at a lot. You know, I wish I could say no to a lot of times in junk food, especially to a big old bag of tater chips or something like that. But I got to start disciplining myself on that, or a big bag of M&Ms, or, you know, last night on 3 popsicles and a fudge bar. You know, I got to do more self-discipline in that area. But see, they make choices by saying no when they really want to enjoy all that junk food, especially a big, fat, greasy McDonald's hamburger. No, they got to say no to it. Or sometimes they got to say no by not hanging out with friends. Or sleep in late. See, because each sport requires them to improve in individual skills, athletes has a specific workout and a diet. And you kind of thinking, okay, where is Jim going with this? Well, hang on. I'm fixing to show you. So now for us Christians, it's not like spirituality is a muscle that can be worked on until it's big and strong. Or is it? Can we train ourselves to be godly? Can we also use discipline in our lives to become better in who we are as a Christian? Can we? Or is that a given? What would be your answer? What would be your answer, folks? Can we do those things? Or is that a given? Is that a given just like those athletes? To many of us, and when I was writing this, to many of us, we should answer yes. We all should answer yes. Because, folks, if we do not discipline ourselves into learning more of God, then how will our walk look like to others who are on the outside looking in? How will it look to them if we're not disciplining ourselves into learning more of God? Because as I said a few times over, folks, there are people out there watching you. They're watching you in real life. They're watching you in social media. They're watching you in the things that you are saying. So if you're not disciplining yourself to be a true child of God, you better be careful because you could send a wrong message to them. So even as athletes train and discipline themselves to be better at what they do, folks, Christians should be doing the same. Christians should be doing the very same thing. So now with all of that out of the way, I just had to give you a little prequel. With all of that out the way, what would be the meaning of spiritual discipline in a Christian's life? What would be the meaning of discipline in a Christian's life? Or spiritual discipline, that should be the better word to use. So what would be that meaning? I see somebody typing, so I'm waiting for the answer. And those of you listening online, I will get to it, but I'm watching our view screen right now, too. Let's see how fast Lisa can really type. Surrounding ourselves in devotionals, being around other Christians. Good one. Apparently, it didn't leak through, so you must be hitting on the right track, but I will be getting to that point, Lisa. But the question is, what would be the meaning of spiritual discipline in a Christian's life? Well, very simple, my friends. A spiritual discipline is the regular or full-time performance of actions and activities undertaken for the purpose of inducing spiritual experiences and cultivating spiritual development. A common metaphor used in spiritual traditions of the world's greatest religions is that of walking a path. We're all walking a path. And in that path, there has to be spiritual discipline. Some spiritual disciplines are personal. Inward exercises that are practiced alone. Others require interpersonal relationships and are practiced in a community. And throughout time, many philosophers, theologians, and writers have proposed number of practices that might be considered spiritual disciplines. And they include this, and you probably can relate to them. But many theologians and many philosophers and many writers propose a number of practices that are considered spiritual disciplines, and they are meditation, prayer, fasting, simplicity, fellowship, chastity, stewardship, submission and obedience, study, contemplation, self-examination, just to name a few of them. Those are considered spiritual discipline in a Christian's life. That's what it boils down to. I guess you never thought about it. Neither have I when I started this. You know, I really never got into what would be considered spiritual discipline. But I think you can understand this now, and I think y'all can relate to this. So with that, let's go to our reading scriptures for tonight. You know, if you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and open to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Lisa, she's posting it for us. So either way, it's up to you how you do it. But we're going to our reading scriptures for tonight, which is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Look what it says. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, oh, doggone it, which have not benefited those devoted to them. With that, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, if there's anything within me I have not confessed to you before the start of this message, forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I don't mean to do the things I do, Father, and I shouldn't do the things that I do, and I'm not making excuses for them, but yet, you know, I do. But yet, Father, I don't do them intentionally, but sometimes I allow it to slip and get the best of me. So I ask of you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. And I ask of you to strengthen me, minister to me, guide me and direct me, show me what needs to be done. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus to bless those folks here tonight that consistently show up for these messages. And I'm glad that you lead me to these messages because, you know, whether it speaks to them or it speaks to me, it glorifies you. And that's the main purpose. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And as always, when two or three are gathered together, and you know we're using electronic means, Christ is still in the midst of us. Father, bless those who are here. Bless those who cannot show up. And for whatever reason, the other people don't want to show up for this anymore. I don't know what to say about them. That's up to you, and you're going to have to deal with them. I'll leave them in your hands, in your hands alone. So thank you again for being with us. Put a protective hedge around those here tonight. Watch over them. Let them know that you love them. Show them the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, y'all seen the bot. You know, I do that to hopefully that when someone sees the message, you know, posted every hour, they might say, that might be an interesting topic. I think I'll join that to see what Brother Jim has to say. But the title of the message tonight for you who's online listening, it's called Spiritual Discipline. The spiritual disciplines I've been speaking of mainly are the practices found in scriptures that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, folks, he speaks a lot about discipline. I learned that just fairly recently, but even though we do practice discipline, we never gave it much thought was spiritual discipline actually in the Bible. And yes, folks, it was. When I researched it and went through it, I found it, wow. You see, when spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ is required, I said it last night, we need to constantly read his word for us to grow. We need to strengthen this muscle and this one. But mainly, we need to get the main source from God himself, because it flows from God to Christ and through the workings of the Holy Spirit. Those trinities are working together within us. We're a part of that trinity. So we need to discipline ourselves to understand the things of heaven more and less things of this world. So spiritual disciplines, really, according to biblical terminology, spiritual disciplines are habits, practices, and y'all mentioned that earlier, and experiences that are truly designed to develop, grow, and strengthen certain qualities of the Spirit, to build the muscles of one's character, and to expand the breadth of one's inner life. They structure the workouts. They structure the workouts which trains the soul. The Bible prescribes both personal and interpersonal spiritual disciplines. Those are those spiritual disciplines that we practice alone and those that we practice with other Christians. So yes, folks, there are spiritual disciplines that you and I practice alone. And there are spiritual disciplines that you and I practice together. But this is something that each of us should be working on in a daily basis in our lives. It should be something consistent that we should be working on every day in our lives. So in this message tonight, my friends, we're going to cover a few ways that we should consider how we should discipline ourselves to be stronger Christians while walking with the Lord. There should be several ways that we should be considering these disciplines when walking with the Lord. The first way for spiritual discipline is discipline your devotions. Discipline your devotions. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says this: I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. The reason why I say we should discipline our devotions, because if we don't, what happens, the end results, comes about is many Christians fail in their lives. If they do not discipline their devotions, many Christians fail and they walk with the Lord. Because as Timothy was just saying, that we should pray lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Because again, when we discipline our devotions to God, we tend to be more focused on God and less of ourselves. You see, these Christians that fail, they fail for a reason, because they do not discipline themselves. They do not discipline themselves when it comes to their daily devotions. And folks, we must make time for God. Let me get this clear right now. You and I, we should consistently be making time for God. I'm not going to name no names, but there's a person I know that I've been talking to. I just don't seem to find the time to read and pray. And I looked at that person, I said, really? But you could sit there and watch a 4-hour binge watch of an old classic television show, but yet you cannot find the time to pray and read the Word of God? Something's wrong here. Folks, we must make time for God to read, to pray, to meditate on His words each and every day. And bottom line, folks, we should we should be giving him first place in our lives. We should. Why? Why should we be giving him first place in our lives? I'm going to tell you why. Look what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says about that. Right there in black and white, folks. It says, but seek first. First. Not second, not third, not fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. And all these things will be added to you. So, folks, what this is telling us, the more that we discipline our devotions to serving him as in accordance to his words, the more that is added to us in doing so. The more you discipline your devotions to God, the more is added to you. It's not me saying that. It's the word of God. The second way for spiritual discipline is, and folks, I see a lot of people struggle in this area. The second way for spiritual discipline is discipline your doubts. Discipline your doubts. Now, we know what happens if we start doubting right off the bat, folks. We know what goes wrong. But here's what Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 says. And this is Jesus now himself talking. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, there's the big action word again, folks. I mentioned this last night, if. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown in the sea, it will happen. Now, some folks kind of misquote that a lot. They literally think, you know, well, if I say to that mountain right there, move from here to here, it's going to be done. Jesus hints on that, you know, if you have faith like a little small, tiny, tiny mustard seed, it will be done. Depends how literal you really take it. Is that really saying that I can move these mountains? No, it's not. But the mountains are really a metaphor, in a way, to the things that you face in life. So I'm going to get off track a little bit. But again, what reason why I'm saying this, the reason why you must discipline your doubts. Some people, and sadly this happens, sadly some people nurture negative thoughts and doubts. And you may know a few of them. I know a few. They're constantly nurturing negative thoughts and doubts all the time. And you wonder, why are they having so many issues? See, folks, what this does to those people, and if you are into those consistent negative thoughts and doubts, this causes discouragement and failure. So what we got to do, and that's why Jesus was saying to be taken up and thrown and see what happened. So we must say to those mountains that we're consistently facing in our lives, we must discipline our thinking. I should have added this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's a great scripture to go to when you want to know about self-discipline. But we must discipline our thinking, refusing to allow doubts to linger too long. So in other way, we shouldn't let that marble consistently roll around. What we need to do is have that faith. We know that everything that God's word says that will be done, it will be done. We trust in that. We believe in that. So by that, we must drive away those doubts by replacing them with thoughts of faith. You don't think that would work? Start trying it and see what happens. I used to doubt a lot. I really did. I had the bad case of doubts, folks. I mean, look, and here I am, a minister, preaching before you, telling you that, yeah, that I had doubts. That was Satan getting inside of my head, causing me to think that way. And then I decided, nah, this is not going to happen no more. I stand by Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I believe that God is going to do what God says he's going to do in accordance to his words. You should too. You shouldn't doubt that. And if you are doubting that, you need to discipline yourself to discipline your doubts. But how can we do this? Well, we have the power to do so. Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says to do about that. Here's the word of God, folks, which says, I can do all things through him, meaning Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus. Can I leap over the tallest building? Can I stop a speeding locomotive? I think that would be crazy if I stood in front of a train and said, I'm going to stop you because I can do all things Christ Jesus. No, Jesus is probably telling you, you crazy fool, get out of the way or that thing's going to run you over. We got to have some common sense somewhere, you know, right? But folks, what you got to do when it says I can do all things through him who strengthens me, do not let doubt master you and your thoughts. Do not let doubt master you and your thoughts. Turn it around. Let Jesus be the master of them instead. That's how you discipline those doubts. The third way for spiritual discipline, folks, is, and we better work good on this one. I know a lot of times in my early walk with the Lord, I had to learn how to discipline that. And I still do so today because sometimes I can get a little caught up in it. But the third way for spiritual discipline is discipline your desires. Now, you might be thinking, well, hold on, Jim. Man, I got a lot of desires. Hey, I do too. But we got to learn to keep those desires in check. Right? Well, the best way to do it, look what Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier, folks. Look what it says again. If you want to discipline your desires, do what the scriptures is telling you to do. It says to set your minds on the things that are above and not of things that are on earth. Sure, you can Google over to Jones's boat, Rick's mansion, Lisa's fancy yacht, Beth's millionaire money. Sure, you can focus your desires on that ball. Yeah, I like to have all that what they got, right? I'm the greatest football player there is. No, folks. The reason why we must discipline our desires, because we live in what's called a materialistic society. Wouldn't you agree? We live in a materialistic society. Want, 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 want. Need, 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 need. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. No wonder so many people are in so much debt today as it is. Everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. Everybody. The souls of millions really has been captured by affluent living. The Rich and the Famous. Y'all, anybody used to remember that show? I used to watch that, The Rich and the Famous. And I would sit there and Google and see, wow, boy, I'd like to be like that one day. I'm going to be like that one day. I'm going to have all that money. I'm going to be rich and famous. Or who wants to be a millionaire? I know some of us maybe. I don't know if y'all watch it or whatever, but I used to watch that show a lot too. Man, I can go in there and win that million. You know, I have desires, yes. Personal ones, yes. But also I need to focus on desires from heaven. But see, these people who have those ungodly desires, that's their lifestyle. They pursue selfishness and sensual and sinful goals. And bottom line, they pursue the things of the world to gratify themselves. And the enemy, my friends, himself, will use those things of the world to draw you away from staying close to God and to use those things to entice and cause you to fall away. If you don't discipline your desires, be wary, because Satan will use the things of the world to entice your desires, to draw you away from God. Before you know it, you're praying less. You're studying less. You quit attending churches whenever you can. You quit having fellowship with people whenever. We see this by evidence in this chat room. Many people no longer have the desire to fellowship like we once did when we used to have this thing up and running. Because again, the world is calling out to them. It's enticing their desires. Because again, we're not disciplining our desires. We're not keeping that desire in check by focusing on heavenly things. So to fend off all those worldly desires that's thrown at us, we must discipline those desires. And Christians must continually discipline themselves to focus on eternal realities instead of the temporal realities of this earth. A Christian life is no longer, folks, you should know this, you should know this by heart. A Christian life is no longer dedicated by this world, but is hidden in Christ. And this is why, it's so important that we must do as James instructs us to do in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Look what he's telling us. Look what he's showing us. He says it right there. He outlines as plain as day. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So in a nutshell, what James is telling us, he's telling us four ways in this short little passage how we should discipline those desires. The first way is humble yourself before God. The second way is resist the devil. Plain and simple. We have the choice. Remember what I said about the athletes? They make a choice. They make decisions. Well, you as a Christian should be doing the same thing. So you should resist the devil whenever he tempts you. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts. And that means really, folks, to live a pure, righteous life. Yes, it's hard to do, but we should be disciplining ourselves to live that pure life. I can get into a whole lot of reasons on that, but you know, there are things that we shouldn't be seeing with the eyes, things we shouldn't be listening to, things we shouldn't be doing, places we shouldn't be hanging out, etc., etc., etc. But we should be working on that. And fourth, you might not have ever thought about this till I did. The fourth thing that he's telling us right there, let there be tears for what you have done. What? That's right. Let there be tears for what you have done. Meaning, bottom line, godly sorrow produces repentance. Where 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this, for godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. So folks, as I mentioned last night, those of you who are truly born again of the Holy Spirit, you will be living in godly sorrow, but that sorrow will produce repentance, not death. So when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up in honor. He will. If you humble your hearts before the Lord, he will lift you up. And when we do all these things, we discipline our desires for the things of this world and more of the things in heaven. And you hear me say this from time to time. I no longer care about such things in the world. I'm no longer infatuated with things in the world. Who gives a hoot about what lie, what conspiracy, what theory, what this, or news that. That's irrelevant. My desire is now focused on heaven. And my desire, as I was telling me and Chris again was talking this morning, is to tell anybody and everybody about Jesus as often as I can in love. Because that, my friends, might be, and it may be, that person you encounter that you talk to about Jesus in love may be the only time they ever hear about Jesus from you. So I'm focused on the things of heaven. I got my desires starting to line up with heaven. And the fourth way for spiritual discipline, folks, and I love this one, and I kind of been hitting on this a little bit in the last several weeks. The fourth way for spiritual discipline is discipline your duties. Discipline your duties. First and foremost, we, you and I, have a duty to serve each other. That's right. You have a duty to serve each other. The Bible says so, in fact, because it says so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. You don't believe me? Look what it says right there. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Bingo. Friends, the fact remains, it is our service that we all will see God's grace in our actions as we demonstrate our faith, because a lack of discipline causes many to waste time or to spend it on other things selfishly. As I mentioned last week, quit wasting God's time. Because if you're wasting it on other things that are foolish of this world, then you, my friends, are wasting God's time. He's given you a gift. You better start using it. Because if you're not using it to bring glory and honor to God, then you're wasting his time. Ooh. Some folks who might have be hearing this when they listen to this later, like, well, I don't like how you're saying that, Jim. Well, sorry. I don't care. The fact is the fact. If you're not doing what God has given you to do, then you're wasting his time. All of us have some sort of a gift. All of us. Why are you wasting it? Why are you spending time on foolish things of the world when you should be more focused on heavenly things? You should be furthering the kingdom of God. You should be like John the Baptist, hollering, I am the voice in the wilderness crying out, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we should be doing as much as often as we can. It is now my mission to try my very best to get the word out. But the thing is, the lack of discipline causes many to waste their time, because what happens, they end up neglecting church attendance, and we should gather together in corporate worship. But again, let me remind you, we are the church for real. The place where we gather, that's just a building, bricks, mortar, and wood. That's not the church. And I can, you know, really slap a lot of pastors upside the head saying that you are failing God by not attending the church. Wait a minute. We are the church. Yeah, we should be attending a place of worship. We should not be forsaking the assembly of the saints, as it says in Hebrews. We shouldn't be doing that. But we shouldn't be trying to force people to be at that place. They should come there willingly out of love for God, which we've been covering in the Bible studies. But what happens when they do not discipline their duties, again, as I say, their attendance falls off. They fail to accomplish God's work. They fail to live like Jesus. So when you're not submitting to your duties and to studying, meditating, praying, fellowship, corporate worship, you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself. Folks, we, you and I, must be faithful to God by allowing and making time for his work. Jesus himself always says, I am doing the works of my Father. I am seeking the works of my Father. Jesus never cared about himself. He was only caring about the works of the Father. That's his primary duty he was focused on, doing the works of the Father. We, folks, you and I, as I said in the last couple of weeks, we must witness to the lost and seek to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, including you who are called by Jesus. That is one of our commissions. We should be making disciples of many. So folks, don't waste what he has given you. Don't. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Despite what you and I may occasionally think, and some people do, we're not spirit beings trapped in physical bodies. We're not. God himself designed us as a virtual mixture of body and soul, or will and spirit. He made us into several things to accomplish his goal. But when we try to figure out where one end and the other starts, we're going to run into problems. If you're constantly trying to figure out where one ends and the other starts, you're going to run into problems. You shouldn't be focused on that. Yes, they are dynamically linked, and the posture of health of one has direct influence on the others. So they do. They have influence on each other. but don't spend so much infatuated time into trying to figure it out. Live for Jesus. Live for Him. And while we may never, ever be perfect on this side of eternity, none of us is or never will be, we will be on the other side, God is at work spiritually transforming us. And Paul addressed this with the Galatians. He really did. This is what Paul was trying to tell them in this passage. You see, folks, y'all ain't going to ever be perfect on this side. Y'all are too infatuated with too much other nonsense. But you need to be more focused and tune into Christ. And this is what he addressed them in chapter 4, verse 19, when he says, "My little children, for whom I am in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." And what he was saying, he was in anguish, seeing you were lacking spiritually. He wanted to see Christ formed in them and us. This is speaking to us too. Yes, that was back then to the people that he was speaking to, but it has meaning to us too. We should anguish for one another to see each other spiritually grow. And we should encourage to help each other to be more spiritual disciplined to ourselves. So the number one reason these experiences I just spoken of are so important is, and most compelling, the number one reason why this is so important and is most compelling to us. Here it is, folks. Jesus was the only perfect person to ever live. And he still practiced spiritual disciplines. Wow. Jesus was perfect, and yet he practiced spiritual discipline. Why? To set the tone, to set the example for you and I. That's why. So if Jesus himself, my friends, look, listen to this carefully. If Jesus himself thought that spiritual disciplines were critical for himself, then they even more important for us today. If he thought it was so critical for him to exercise spiritual discipline, then it's so important for us to do so today. It's easy for us to think that our responsibilities as children of God are to avoid bad behavior. Yeah, it's easy to do that. And while denying ourselves and making intentional sacrifices, yes, is important, we grow when we see that Christian spirituality is an imitation to an intentional life. We do so intentionally because we are training like the athletes to discipline ourselves. Be ye holy, for I am holy. In case you have forgotten about that passage, you need to burn that into your hearts and your mind, because again, you are the living vessel of God himself. So you better start disciplining your body to house that vessel, to be holy like God is holy. And if you got some problems, work on it. Work on it. Discipline yourself to do better. Train. Build up that spiritual muscle. Now, although spiritual exercise, while doing so, we embrace the activity of faith. And as we train ourselves to be godly, yet we will not be God, but we train ourselves to be more like Christ, we, you and I, develop a faith that is diligent and dynamic. When you start training yourself in that manner, wow, what's changed in Fred? Wow, what's changed in Lisa? Something's going on with them. Maybe I need to work on it. Maybe I need to do better. I believe I'll start doing that today. If they're doing it, then I can do it. So like athletes, my friends, they train themselves to exceed their physical limits. Spiritual exercise enables us to do what we are unable to do by our own effort. And as we invest our energy into developing spiritual disciplines, we partner with God in our growth and transformation. Wow. Then, my friends, when we start doing that, when we work on spiritual disciplines, we, you and I, can grow in His grace and produce good fruit. We can grow in His grace and produce good fruits. Amen. Let's pray.